This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio. Let's go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Ricky O'Donnell joining us, SB Nation, on the national championship game. Ricky, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for the time. All right, let's talk about the Big East for a second. And we played some audio earlier in the show from Jay Wright talking about that he believes the Big East is the best conference in America for their program, for Villanova, which I would agree with, given the size of the school and the basketball-first nature of the other schools inside the Big East. But how big of a deal is it that the Big East, after what almost took apart the league with football, has now won two championships in 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, what's crazy is that Villanova sort of turned into kind of a modern-day Duke. It's a small private school that's found a way to turn itself into a blue blood seemingly overnight. I mean, the record over the last 5 years is absolutely phenomenal. I think they're 13-1 over the last 3 years in the NCAA tournament. Villanova is just sort of unimpeachable right now. Everyone else is chasing after them. They're the top dogs in college basketball at the moment, and they found a way to do it on their own terms. I mean, they have six redshirt guys on this roster. No one else is doing it this way. Like, you compare them to Duke, just success-wise, but, you know, Duke at the same time is relying on one and done. Mm-hmm. Kind of the old Duke model. So I think that the Big East is certainly propped up by Villanova. If you take Villanova out, it's still a good conference. Butler, very good program. Creighton, very good program. There's a lot of good schools. Xavier, mm-hmm. obviously, Marquette. A lot of good schools, but Villanova is just on another level right now in the Big East, and you can really say that they're on another level throughout the rest of the country.
Do you think that there are some Duke fans who look at Villanova and they say, that used to be us, what happened to us?
Yeah, I think so for sure. But, you know, at the same time, Jay Wright said this. He was asked about this repeatedly in San Antonio this week. You know, do you shy away from one-and-done players? Do you need one-and-done players? Jay Wright kept saying, you know, we want them. We'll mm-hmm. take them. They recruited Lonnie Walker, who ended up in Miami last year. They didn't get him. So I think that what Villanova wants is, first of all, guys who want to be there, guys who are going to buy into what Jay Wright is selling, because it is a program that, like, preaches patience. There's really mm-hmm. nothing comparable to this throughout the rest of college basketball in terms of a team that's competing for championships every year. I'm sure that if Villanova could have got R.J. Barrett, could have got Zion Williamson, could have got Cam Reddish, those three guys are all going to Duke next year, they would have taken him just because, as a coach, you want the best players. What Villanova has been able to do, though, is find a recipe for success by having older players. You see someone like Dante DiVincenzo, who, since he's a sophomore, really, that was his third year in college because he redshirted mm-hmm. during Villanova's 2016 championship year. So while Villanova's missed out on some of the one-and-dones, it's ultimately had a beneficial effect on the program because it's just given them an older, more disciplined team, a group of guys who are obviously unselfish, who play for each other and play together. And right now, everyone's chasing after that.
Ricky, yesterday we talked to Bruce Rasmussen, who's the AD of Creighton, but also the head of the men's basketball selection committee. And I asked him about the recruiting to the Big East programs and what Villanova's been able to do. And he said that, you know, Villanova, they start with culture and they recruit culture. And then one and done kids don't necessarily buy in or appeal or fit in to the Villanova way, the culture way, the Jalen Brunson way, if you will, where you come in and you develop, and that's why they're having such success, because they've got a bunch of juniors led by Jalen Brunson who understand what it means to be a Villanova basketball player. Would you agree with that?
Well, I do agree with that, but the thing is that recruiting is such a fragile game. Like, if you go back to Jalen Brunson's recruitment, he was supposed to go to Temple. If he ends up at Temple, does Villanova win these two national championships? Do they even win one of them? Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? Probably not. So I think it's always going to be like there's only so many good kids. The kids can only go to one school. So it's like it's such a thin margin for error that it just really ends up being a really fragile process. Now, you look at who Villanova has coming in next year. They have a kid named Javon Quinterly who was mentioned heavily in the FBI report. He was originally committed to Arizona. He ends up decommitting. Goes to Villanova. Now, he's a five-star. He's probably not an NBA player, which is another great get by Villanova because he's just not big and fast enough for the NBA, but he's going to be a terrific college player. So I think a lot of it is just, like, what guys are available? Who do you think you can get? Villanova knew it needed a point guard. If the FBI stuff doesn't happen, Quinterly's at Arizona, what does Villanova do at point guard next year? I mean, maybe they're shoehorning Phil Booth or DiVincenzo into that spot when both those guys are better off the ball. So it's all just so fragile, and you need so much luck. And Villanova's had a lot of luck. They certainly have a great eye for talent, and they have a great eye for getting their players to buy into their system. But, you know, this could have gone a number of different ways for them, just if Brunson ends up at Temple or if, you know, Quinterly ends up at Arizona next year.
So are you under the impression that Jalen Brunson's not going back to school next year?
Well, it's like, what else does he have to prove? He was just the National Player of the Year. He's got two championships in 3 years. His deficiencies as a player are not going to be improved with another year of college. He's not going to get any taller. He's not going to get faster. He just absolutely dominated college basketball the entire season. He was National Player of the Year. So why not bounce? He has nothing else to prove. To me, he's probably going to be a high second-round pick. He's going to carve out a good career. I mean, his dad had a long career in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Jalen could help any team. You look around the league right now, and there's just so many bad second-unit point guards. Like, even if Jalen isn't a stud in the NBA, he's going to have a long career because he knows how to play. He's tough as hell. He can shoot from the outside. He's still going to be able to post up smaller guards in the league when he gets the right matchup. So I think Jalen is going to bounce. I think he should bounce because what else does he have to prove? He showed everything he can at the college level.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, unless he wants to go and try to win 3 and 4, because I don't think there's that much of an upside if he stays in school. I think he's an early second-round pick now. I think he's an early second-round pick, late first-round pick, if he plays after next year and wins 3 and 4. So could you potentially see go for history, win 3 and 4 years?
Yeah, but it's like, it's so hard to win the title. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to lose Mikal Bridges. They might lose Spellman. Let's say, theoretically, both those guys come back and Villanova's by far the best team again. It's still like a single elimination tournament. Like, literally anything could happen. They could just have one cold shooting night. Like, they lose to Creighton was their last loss. Like, they had a cold shooting night and they lose to Creighton. Right. That happens in the tournament, and it's like, well, why didn't I just make millions of dollars this year? So, to me, you know, I love when the kids come back. Like, it was cool to see Brunson come back this year. Like, he probably could have been a second-round pick after his sophomore year last year. Same thing with Bridges. Bridges comes back and ends up being a top 10 pick this year. So it would be cool to see him come back and try to win 3 and 4 years, but ask Miles Bridges on Michigan State how that plan went for him. He could have been a lottery pick last year, decided to come back to Michigan State for his sophomore season. He said he wanted to win a national championship, and he gets knocked out in the second round by a terrible Syracuse team because Michigan State didn't know how to beat his own defense. So you sort of need to weigh the risks and rewards, and I think Brunson most likely is gone.
Yeah, I would agree. Ricky, last point before we get out of here. Now Jay Wright has got two championships. That's more than John Calipari. That's more than John Beilein. What does this do for his career, his mark on the sport, and where he ranks right now of the best coaches in college basketball?
Yeah, he's one of the very best. I mean, you probably got to put Coach K ahead of him, because Coach K got like 5. But Jay Wright's a lot younger. Jay Wright sort of has this program trending in the right direction. What's crazy about Nova is that they're going to be sustainable for a long time. Like, no one knew who Dante DiVincenzo was when they won the title in 16, and now he's the MOP of the tournament. Bridges was like the 8th man on that team, and now he's going to be a top 10 NBA draft pick. So there's dudes buried on this Nova bench this year, Jermaine Samuels, Roundtree, who you don't even know their names yet, but they're going to be really good players. There's no doubt about it. Plus, you have another solid recruiting class coming in. Villanova is going to be sustainable for a long time. I think that's what makes Jay Wright one of the best coaches in the country. I mean, he's top 2 in college basketball right now. There's no argument with what he's been able to do.
Yeah, it really is unbelievable what Jay Wright. And I think the Duke comparison is spot on, Ricky. I think that's a great point that they have. They're a small school with a big, big fan base now, and everybody knows where Villanova is after 2 championships in 3 years. Ricky, good stuff. Appreciate the time today.
Thanks.
Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation, joining us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. And I think it's a great comparison. Small school, private school, expensive, dedicated to their academics, uses basketball as their front porch. Great coach who has had multiple chances to leave but keeps on staying because he's a Philly guy. And he wants to be a part of the program, wants to be in Philadelphia, doesn't want to leave, doesn't want to go to a bigger school, and has said, you know what, I can be in Villanova, at Villanova, and I can win just as many games and compete and make just as much money as I could anywhere else. So why am I going anywhere? Why mess? I think the line he used to say is, why mess with happiness? And he's incredibly happy. And he has done a great, great job, even though he got off to a rocky start for his career at Villanova, and some people questioned, was he the right guy at Villanova? Now Jay Wright's got 2 titles in 3 years. Next, the Rob Gronkowski situation is really, really weird. Pro Football Talk got today. They thought it was a joke, a tweet that came out of WEEI. It was a joke. They missed it, and they have egg all over their face. We'll get to that next. SB Nation Radio.